Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
I, Elena Kagan, do solemnly swear that I will administer justice without respect to persons. So help me God.
God is punishing these soldiers, punishing their parents, really. And the parents ought to be very thankful for me to tell them this.
It's one thing to assume the role of God and to call down judgment on others. To do it at a time of bereavement of our fallen heroes in uniform is just despicable beyond description.
You don't reform the sinful flesh, you put it to death. That's what the Bible says. It's not a matter of making him better. It's a matter of making him dead so that he doesn't kill you.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
It's not unusual nowadays to hear Christians openly question, the doctrine of creation. They'll still talk about a creation. They still want God behind all of it somehow. But what they don't want is the biblical account of creation. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The order seems kind of odd. And look, the pressure is on in our culture to abandon what the world says is, at the very best, a myth, a just-so story explaining how everything came to be. And so Christians are, well, they're folding a little bit on this. I've had well-meaning pastors even approach me and tell me that they don't teach creation, six-day creation, to their parishioners anymore because none of them are likely to believe it. They just avoid the subject, let the people believe what they want to believe, as long as they believe that God is behind it all. We're going to be talking about Christ and creation in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday, October the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Rolf Preuss will be our guest. In the second half hour of the program, Dr. Richard Stuckwish will join us. We'll talk about the fatherhood of God. And then we're going to spend the entire second hour of this Tuesday's Issues Etc. again with Dr. Andrew Doss. We started a conversation on the new perspective on Paul, hearing some rather lengthy comments from a recent interview we did with Bishop N.T. Wright, Bishop of Durham in England, and author of many scholarly works and many popular works of Christian scholarship. He has a new perspective on Paul along with some other scholars, and we thought it best to bring Dr. Doss along to explain what it is Bishop N.T. Wright means when he talks about a new perspective on Paul and then respond to it. We'll continue that response, talking about imputed righteousness and what the new perspective on Paul says is two justifications, not one justification, but two justifications of the sinner before God. That's coming up here in about an hour on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. Pastor Rolf Preuss is pastor of First American Lutheran in Mayville, North Dakota, First Evanger Lutheran in Fertile, Minnesota, and Grace Lutheran in Crookston, Minnesota. He spoke recently on the subject of Christ and creation at the 17th Annual Symposium on Catechesis. Rolf, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
There are many who claim to do so, but can a Christian consistently maintain the gospel while rejecting the biblical account of creation?
I don't think it's possible over the long run. You know, you can always have an error that you don't follow through on, but you have to ask, why would somebody reject the biblical doctrine of creation? What is taking its place. And whatever that is opposed to the gospel. It is the authority of the Bible would be at stake, and also the role of human reason as we do theology. Does reason lord it over the text? Do we permit popular culture, which would include the popular views in the scientific community? Do we permit that to trump the clear statements of Scripture?
You say that the Christian does not really understand creation ever apart from faith in Christ as Savior. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that faith is always faith in Jesus, and creation, while you can figure out that there is a creator just by looking at the world and using common sense, you can't look at the world, use common sense, and come to the conclusion that Jesus is your Savior. And so the faith has to be centered at the cross, where God takes our sin away and makes us his children through Christ. Then we can understand creation as the act of a loving Father. And everything pertaining to creation we see as God's children. But you can't reason your way to faith. And so creation always has to be put into the perspective of Christ as Savior who redeems us. That's where faith is going to come from. Then we can see creation properly.
Okay, then let's start where you start, and that is with the natural knowledge of God. There's kind of an axiom that you lay out at first, that to attack the natural knowledge of God is to implicitly attack the Christian faith, but to defend the natural knowledge of God is not necessarily a defense of the Christian faith. How does that work, Rolf?
Well, thanks for the question. I think that because this is something where I think people often get a little bit confused. If you attack the natural knowledge of God, what you're doing is you're attacking what God has set down in nature so that any heathen, anybody of any religion, can see the evidence of God's existence. That way, when they hear the law of God, it kind of resonates a little bit with their own conscience and with what they can know just by looking at the world. So you have this natural knowledge of God, this natural knowledge of the law. And so the attack on the natural knowledge of God is to overthrow the faith entirely. But to defend that natural knowledge doesn't necessarily mean you're defending the gospel. You're just defending the existence of a creator God. So in the case, for example, in the paper that I gave, I talked about how the communists in the former Soviet Union would attack the church and Christ by means of attacking the teaching of creation with the doctrine of evolution. To prove that they're wrong isn't to prove the Christian gospel. It's simply to shoot down an attack against it.
What role, and this is something that Lutherans, at least in America, have typically, not exclusively, but typically, for some reason, shied away from. What role does Christian apologetics play here, Rolf?
Well, I think some of your listeners might be remember Professor Kurt Marquardt. He was one great theologian that was one of my teachers at the seminary, and he taught a course in apologetics back in the 70s when I was at the seminary. And he taught us, and I haven't forgotten this, the purpose of apologetics is to shoot down the opposition. That is, it is to disprove the attacks on the faith, not to establish the faith itself. So apologetics is not yet what we would call doing theology. It isn't proclaiming the faith so much as it is showing how those enemies of the faith are wrong, that they're alternative isn't an alternative. And in that way, when you shoot down the attacks against the faith, you are creating an atmosphere where people might be willing at least to listen to what you as a Christian have to say. But if they just assume at the outset that the Bible is full of myths and that evolution has disproved the biblical account of creation, then they may not even give you a hearing. So I do think that apologetics is good to set the groundwork to enable a person to, with an open mind, at least hear the gospel, listen to the gospel.
So it's two different things. When Paul talks about pulling down strongholds that raise themselves against Christ, and then he talks about taking every thought captive to Christ, he's really talking about two different endeavors, one being apologetics, which really can only deconstruct arguments contrary to the Christian faith and to its historicity, but taking every thought captive to Christ is a matter solely for evangelism, the gospel, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I agree. That is, the one is to show that the attacks on the faith are illegitimate, but that isn't necessary. That isn't to establish the faith, because those who attack Christianity are attacking it usually from the perspective of human reason. We need to show that the rationalists aren't being rational. Show them by their own standards that they are wrong. But the only way to come to faith is through repentance, and where the law condemns you, and then the gospel brings you the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's a work of the Holy Ghost. While he uses your reason, you don't reason your way to faith.
Pastor Rolf Preuss is our guest. He spoke recently on the subject of Christ and creation at the 17th Annual Symposium on Catechesis. When we come back 10 more minutes with him, it's Tuesday afternoon, October the 5th. We are coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Feel free to give us a call right here in the studio with a question or a comment on Christ and creation, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC, an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes on Christ and creation here in the first hour of the program. Then we'll talk about the fatherhood of God with Dr. Richard Stuckwish. Dr. Andrew Doss joins us in the second hour to continue our response to Bishop N.T. Wright's thoughts on the new perspective on Paul. That continues yesterday's conversation here in about a half hour on Issues Etc. Pastor Preuss, one of the insights that you bring forward, very glad that you point this out, because it is about getting things in their proper order, that we truly only know God, the true creator God, via the Son. That even natural knowledge of God, as Paul tells us in the book of Romans, does not acquaint us with the true God. It only lets us know he lives down the street, so to speak, but we've never met him if all we have is only natural knowledge of a creator God. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, Christ is. I'm just happened tonight to be teaching a Bible class on John 14, and where Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Is that you cannot know God at all. Now, what you can know is certain things about him, things he has done, but you can't know him in the sense of a child knowing a father. You can't have a personal knowledge of him until your sins are forgiven and he accepts you, and this is all for Christ's sake. This is done because of Christ's vicarious obedience, his suffering and death for us. And so when we know God through Christ, we know him as a loving father who has nothing, we have nothing to fear from him. He isn't out to hurt us. But if all you have is the natural knowledge of God, well, that's going to lead to idolatry if you're left on your own to try to find God through natural knowledge.
So while we might kind of stand on the sidelines and applaud, for instance, efforts to counter Darwinian evolution with intelligent design in the classroom, in the academy, wherever it may be, out in the public square, really, all intelligent design is going to get you, it's just a kind of an in-depth study of the natural knowledge of God, nothing more, am I right?
Exactly, yeah. And that's why we're going to support those who are trying to debunk a materialism, you know, atheism, evolutionism, and all these other isms that reject the existence of God. But you know, proving that God exists, that is not leading somebody to faith. That's a miracle of the Holy Ghost, and that's something that only God can do through the gospel.
To what end does God rule creation as he does?
If we see how precious the Holy Christian Church is, we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. We're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We are the apple of God's eye. That's how much he loves. He loves this church so much that he directs everything in the whole universe for the benefit of his church. So when you look at creation and what sometimes is called providence, the way God rules over nature, it is all for the sake of the bride of Christ, the Holy Christian Church. So we always look at God's great love for us in Christ. Then we have a perspective on how he's really ruling the world. So you don't really understand God by looking at what you think he's doing in the world. Rather, you understand what he's really doing in the world by looking to the cross. Then you see his heart, his true attitude toward us, and everything else has to be put into that perspective. And so Jesus says in that great Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." Put the material world in the perspective of Christ's kingdom, his forgiveness. And then it'll start making sense to you.
Is this why God permits the church not only at various times and places, but sometimes for long, long periods of time, to suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what Jesus says in John chapter 15 about I am the vine and you are the branches. And then he talks about how you prune the vine to make it more fruitful. And suffering, that doesn't feel good to have these branches cut off that aren't bearing fruit, but the church suffers, and it looks like God's abandoned her, but this drives her back to her source of life, which is the gospel. Because she gets fat and sassy and arrogant, you know how people are, and they start trusting in their money or their intelligence or their, their social respectability. And so it's good to get knocked down once in a while and see our true need is for the gospel of Christ's righteousness that we have through faith in Christ, and that purifies the church.
When you write, Jesus shows his power to redeem and forgive through his power to create, what are you saying?
Well, what I am saying here is that when he, for example, enables a paralyzed man to stand up and walk, he's getting rid of the result of sin, every malady, human malady, illness, and death itself comes about as a result of sin. When Jesus shows his power over nature and his power to undo the curse of sin, he is showing his power to forgive sin. And so by his creative power, his creative miracles, prove that he also has the authority to forgive sinners.
And perhaps something that's often missed in the creation account, we usually talk about the six-day creation, but of course the account itself includes yet another day, significantly, the Sabbath, which we just had a guest recently point out that all of human history and all of human time is ordered in those first 6 days the way that God intends it to go forward, culminating with the seventh day, with the Sabbath. What is that for us today, Pastor Price?
The Sabbath rest of Jesus in the grave, Christ healing on the Sabbath. Christ is, I believe this is, an attack on every form of legalism. Just as the Old Testament church was required not to do any work on Saturday, as so we, when we rest from all our labors in the wounds of Christ, Christ is our Sabbath rest. We rest spiritually in him, and we don't attempt to work our way to heaven. The work is done by God, and we rest in Christ, and in that way, he, by doing the work for us, takes away from us the burden. And so the Sabbath rest is a symbol of our spiritual rest in Jesus in the forgiveness of sins.
Why is it important, finally, then, Pastor Price, for Christians not only to maintain the biblical teaching of God's creation, but to do it, as you have said so many times so well here in our conversation, always in through the lens of Jesus Christ and his redemptive work?
Because it is so easy to be distracted from faith. You know, faith is born in weakness. It is born in repentance, the forgiveness of sin. And if we start talking about creation and try to make ourselves into, amateur scientists, we're easily going to be jumping outside of the area of faith into the area of human reason being king. And ultimately, for the Christian, faith depends on the revelation of God's grace in Christ, including every article of the faith, including our creation and the preservation. So I believe that there is a temptation sometimes to leave the gospel aside and to strive to make it on our own, and that is always a deadly thing to do.
Pastor Rolf Preuss is pastor of First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, North Dakota, First Evangel Lutheran Church in Fertile, Minnesota, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Minnesota. He spoke recently on the subject of Christ and creation at the 17th Annual Symposium on Catechesis. We'll post a link to Pastor Preuss's website at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rolf, thank you again for being our guest.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, second half hour of the program today, we'll spend with Dr. Richard Stuckwish of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're going to talk about the fatherhood of God. Now, this is something that had been co-opted by mainstream liberal Protestantism and the ecumenical movement. Talk about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. The fatherhood of God in Scripture is not mere metaphor. It is not a convenience that we use to kind of fit God into a framework we easily understand. It is, in fact, divine revelation. Divine revelation by way of the Son who speaks constantly and consistently about God, His Father, and ultimately, through His redemptive work of us, our Father, too. We'll be talking about the fatherhood of God for the next half hour of Issues, etc. Feel free to join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. And if you got a few minutes, visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. If you're not a fan already, all you need to do is look at the top of the page, click the like button, and you'll be one of those fans. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It's been exactly 30 years since China began enforcing its brutal one-child policy to control their population. Family planning thugs often jail couples who dare to have more than one child. Sentences involve house arrest and labor camps. They endure physical harassment and violence. Women late in pregnancy are literally being drugged to abortion mills where their babies are killed and they're forcibly sterilized afterward. If the women flee, officials often arrest family members instead. A drastic shortage of women has resulted, and China has the highest suicide rate in the world among women. I spoke with one of the victims who was forced to have three abortions without anesthesia. All the while, so-called pro-choice groups remain deadly silent.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.